Nope. Failed. Here we go. Hey, welcome. We're so blessed you're here this morning. And if you are new at Trailhead Church, man, stick around. Find out more about the church. There's so many different ways to connect. You know, I know what it's like. I myself, even as a pastor, I have visited other churches. And you walk in, you're a little like, where's the bathroom? And it's like, it's right there. It's like right in front of you, but you can't see it because you're like super nervous. And I understand. Just take a deep breath and realize that ain't nothing going to happen to you this morning, all right? Except, well, let's just say accept the power of God, whatever he wants in your life, if you're willing, all right? But my encouragement this morning for you, stick around, find out more about the church, and show yourself friendly. You know, we want to get to know you. Make that happen, okay? We're thrilled to have a place where the vulnerability of allowing God to mold you and just move in your life. I mean, that's what it's all about. So I'm blessed that this is that type of house. You know, for many of us in this room, you're sitting here thinking, man, like how much forgiveness and mercy is there? So much. So much. I know many of you have walked in this morning feeling condemnation and feeling just regret, and you just feel misunderstood, and you're upset about life, and you wish you could take something back or whatever it is. Man, this is what's so wonderful about our faith in Jesus Christ, of what he can do. He can change everything that's inside of your heart that resembles this world. He can change it in an instance. He can mold you. He can come in and correct certain behaviors if you're just willing. If you're just sitting here going, you know what, God, help me. And I'm going to walk in your mercies and in your grace. So my encouragement this morning is, man, drop your walls, right? Drop your preconceived notions of what it's, man, what God does this and that. And just drop it and say, Lord, use me. Use me. Yeah, I was having a conversation with my neighbor yesterday. He's a pastor as well. And we were talking about how a lot of times in a church, you'll get this idea of I'm not good enough, or it's not me, or maybe that person. You'll get into comparison. You'll be like, yeah, that person. You should use that person. You know, I think it's funny because we don't actually, it's like we read the scriptures, but we don't apply the scriptures, you know, because you're like, oh yeah, that guy. So let's use an example here this morning of what I mean. If let's say Alan, okay? Everyone looks at Alan and go, Alan is like super awesome. And he's super holy. And man, he knows the word of God, right? So immediately you're like, he's the guy. But then it could just be Nathan. Just little old Nathan, quiet Nathan, just hanging out. Doesn't really talk much. So it's Nathan who's sitting here going, yeah, Alan. He's like constantly thinking, Alan's the guy. You guys remember the story. Jesus goes to get baptized, right? He goes to get baptized. Who baptizes him? His cousin, John the Baptist, right? And you're like, John the Baptist. You imagine? John the Baptist, right? Let me say it one more time. John the Baptist. It's that guy. Like, the guy. He's the guy who's like in the water yelling at everybody. He's like, you in the water, right? He's just ushering people in, baptizing over and over and over again. You know what's wild is that John the Baptist was not one of the 12 disciples. So many people probably are sitting there going, John, he's the guy. No, Jesus turns around and grabs some fishermen. Not that John the Baptist still wasn't the guy. God was using him as an open vessel, ready to be used. But too often we use comparison and we're like, John the Baptist. Hey, it's the Nathans. It's the quiet ones sometimes. It's the ones that just are willing. So this morning I hope that this message opens up your eyes to realize, hey, stop the comparison. Let's start the inner dialogue of who we are in Christ Jesus and what is God doing in our lives, okay? Let's make that happen. So we've been in a message series for a while called Walk This Way. I'm pretty excited about this message. I thought for some reason that maybe this would just be for a few weeks. I think I'm going to take this all the way to the very end. You're like, of 2023? I could. But what we'll do is we'll wrap this up right at the end of May here, and actually we'll pick up what we usually do is in the summertime. We'll do a summer with Trailhead, and typically I'll grab a book out of the Bible and we'll study that book throughout the whole summer, but God still hasn't laid that book on me just yet. But I'm excited about today's message. And so instead of being like real specific and saying, you know, we're going to walk in faith, or we're going to walk in love, I thought it would probably be best to walk in love, forgiveness, happiness, faithfulness, and as a child of God all together. Sound good? And then you're probably thinking, what else could we be walking in? There's so much more to walk in for the rest of the May, all right? But for us this morning, we're going to walk in love, forgiveness, happiness, faithfulness, and a child of God. So I am blessed to listen to a lot of smarter people than myself. And so there's an individual in my life, and it's Bruce actually here on the front row, and he says, you always need to start, all right, with the conclusion. Don't drag people along. Just start. Just do it. So here's the answer for today's message. Repent. All right? We overcomplicate all of the different things to walk in this morning. We overcomplicate it so much, but if we just repent. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer up front. Repent. It says in 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we would just repent. I know that seems overcomplicated and underwhelming for some of you. Because you're like, man, give me something else. Some of us are workers. Some of us want the four-step plan of like, all right, I need to do this next, and then this, and then this, and then I made it. It's like, no. How about you just find some time alone with God and just repent? Lord, I am sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Boy, there is such a rejuvenating sense of just everything. I mean, it just comes over you. You're like, it felt great. It felt great to just let it out. And sometimes God will even say, hey, go talk to such and such and just talk to them about what's going on, a good friend. And I'll get to that in just a second. But man, it feels good to repent. It feels so good to repent. Can I say it again? I love to repent. That should really just be wonderful for everyone to hear. I love to repent. You're like, how often do you do it? All the time. I repent. I repent to my children. I repent to my wife. I repent to my friends. I repent all the time. We are like automobiles where all the wear and tear, and then on top of the corrosion that sets in, and you don't even see some of the corrosion, then before you know it, you're like, eh. I got in a truck not too long ago with a friend of mine. I can tell you guys now, it was that guy from last week. I was in his truck in Ohio, and it was like, as we'd go down the road, it was like this, and I was like, Justin, what is wrong with your truck? He goes, my father-in-law gave me this truck because it was like a farm use truck. He goes, I'm just waiting for everything just to fall apart. So I would drive it till it fall apart. And I was like, what is wrong with you, right? He said, well, I had a guy look at it. And he was like, man, don't drive this anymore. And I was like, why are we driving this then? Like, your safety. Like, it's important. And sure enough, a few months later, it fell apart. And he was, and thankfully, no one was in the car other than himself. But it was just one of those things. We kind of start driving. We're like, this is what it is. It's all right. You know? No, it's not all right. It's not okay. We should not allow this type of corrosion to come into our lives, and we're susceptible to those things, man. We're like sponges. We've got to stop. So that leads me here to Jeremiah 29:11. We're going to read to verse 13. And as you turn your Bibles there, and I would encourage you, start bringing your Bibles, start bringing a notebook, a notepad, whatever it is. You can't memorize any of this. We all know if you went to college, You're dumb because we spent a lot of money at college. And so I'm sitting there going, man, I spent a lot of money. And I only gained 15%. I walked away with only 15% of what I learned in college. I wish I could get the 85% of my money back. But you can't, all right? But it's important to write these things down, pay attention, because that's what's going to change everything. So here we go, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Isn't that so wonderful? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And here's the key right here, verse 12. In those days when you pray, I will listen. So there's a little bit of a step process, not a formula, but a step process here. You know, in reading this scripture, the Lord knows. Then what are you supposed to do? Pray. Pray. And what's he going to do? He's going to listen. And then what's going to happen? If you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll what? Find me. Wholeheartedly is really important. Wholeheartedly. 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 I went to Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. This is my blanket I keep up in my office in case I get cold. So I'll wrap it around myself. Now, when I wrap myself in this, and someone comes in, they're going to be like, you a Marshall fan? Wouldn't that be weird if I were like, no? Like, well, why do you own that? I don't know. Because it keeps me warm. You're like, yeah, but wouldn't you just rather get, you know, the team that you like? Well, yeah, but, you know. But no, guess what? I'm a fan. I'm a Marshall fan. I'm a Thunder and Herd. I bleed green. Some of you are like, I don't get it. Whatever. I bleed green. When I wrap this around me, I'm showing that this is me. I'm a part of this team. That I cheer this team on. This is it. This is. I'm proud. Good days, bad days. I'm proud. This is my team. When I wrap this around me, I'm wholeheartedly in the game. All the way. Sometimes we're fearful of doing this. Wholeheartedly. That's forgiveness and love and happiness. Good days, bad days. I'm wrapped. I'm completely kept covered by him. That this is it. You see what I'm doing? I'm keeping it up. Some of you are like, he was doing that like by accident. No! I think I can keep a blanket on people. I'm showing you what happens. Little things come. Ooh. I got to keep it up. I don't want anything to get in here, any coldness. I'm wrapping myself up wholeheartedly. And when I do this, what happens? You'll find him. You walk into his courts. You're wrapped in him wholeheartedly. It changes. When you walk into his presence and you say, Lord, use me. God, correct me. Show me. Lord, I'm willing vessel, whatever it is. I'm wrapped. You can't afford to do this. Because then you're susceptible to this world. You're vulnerable. You'll take on anything then. And a lot of people do. They'll take little bits and pieces. They'll create actually worlds that aren't true. They'll live by certain things you shouldn't live by. Got to be so careful, wholeheartedly. You know, for many of us, and I mentioned this earlier with Matthew chapter 7, with knowing how we're supposed to build our foundation. We're on the solid rock. And when we do this, then when those storms come, then they don't affect us the same way if we were built on a sand foundation. But when you're built on the rock, oh. Because here's the deal. Some of us, we're thinking, oh yeah, you know, like when real storms come. Some of us are sitting here thinking, oh yeah, when you get fired from your job. Okay, those are storms. I'm not going to, I'm not going to sit here and dismantle that as if it's not. Those are real storms. Or if, maybe there's a hiccup in your marriage right now. Those are real storms. But you know, those are like aftermaths of the storm. It's usually resentment and unforgiveness. Apathy is feelings and emotions that are not of God. So earlier when I mentioned it's like, hey, let's talk about love, forgiveness, happiness, faithfulness. How about hate, unforgiveness, sadness, fearfulness? Those emotions are the storms that try to take you away from what God has for you. Those are the things that start chipping just slowly, just enough. And then before you know it, catastrophe. Before you know it, you're at work. You're in your bedroom fighting with your spouse because you haven't kept yourself guarded wholeheartedly, wrapped. You've become susceptible to something. But we're like sponges, all of us in this room. You're like sponges. We know it. Come on. Many of us in this room, man. My children, my son just turned 15, and he wanted to go to this all-you-can-eat sushi place. All right? Holy moly. We're sitting there at this restaurant. Now imagine me and four teenage boys in front of me, and there's a conveyor belt of sushi. And I'm sitting there going, whoa, just take one. Just take one. They were like, clear it out. They're yelling. They're like taking every plate that's going through the conveyor belt and they're just dropping it. And the one kid, hilarious, sushi you, sushi me, we all sushi. He just kept yelling that over and over again. And I was like, oh my Lord. And I'm sitting there, you know, I was the one. And I was the one trying to bring down the crazy behavior. And the waitress came over and she goes, can I take some plates? And I go, yes. And they go, no. And she said, are you stacking? And embarrassingly, I was like, no. And they all four were like, yeah, we're stacking. And it was like a thing. They had heard some sophomores in their school had 100 sushi plates. So they were going for 100 plus. We're at 75. And something happened. Oh, you all know it. I turned 15. Sushi you, sushi me, we all eat sushi. Like, I was on it. I was like, clear it out, bring it. And I was like, eating it. I looked at little Noah and I go, Noah, I'm carrying you, man. I'm carrying you. I was using their slang. Eamon was like, I got it. Cap, man, cap. Give me more. I'm just downing it. So gross. I mean, you don't even know. 106 plates later, sophomores who? And I'm 44. It's funny, those environments. You think even as an adult, you're like, I'm not susceptible to, you know, four 15-year-olds. Oh, yeah, you are. Oh, yes, you are. We're sponges. That's what happens. But it's so important that all of us in this room that we take those times to examine ourselves. What's corroding? Where am I holding resentment? Where am I holding some type of just unforgiveness or hate or anger? What is it? You've got to examine ourselves. So there's two parts to this I want to talk about, and then we've got some steps I want us to take. So the first part I want us to look at is we all know that the enemy just wants to isolate us, correct? We're very familiar with this. Enemy wants to isolate us. So what's the opposite of isolating? Engaging. Let's engage it. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable to engage, for sure. We shouldn't isolate, though. The minute that you go, I just want to go home. The minute that you sit there in your workplace and you're in the bedroom with your spouse, or if you're talking to somebody and it's like, man, I just want to be home right now. No. Engage. Lean in. No, why am I feeling like this? No. Let's get to it now. The quicker in that moment, that's odd because the uncomfortable side of it makes you so uncomfortable that you just want to run. But yet what's sad is that then your brain runs all night long. If you were and you're exhausted. Days will go by, and you're just exhausted by the thought of what was going on. But if you would just lean in and engage in the moment, and attack the emotion you're feeling, and say, I'm going to engage this. I'm going to turn it. Hey, I don't know why I'm feeling like this. As we're talking right now, I feel like this is happening. Hey, let's talk this out. Can we talk this out? Because it's not worth holding on to. It's not worth whatever there is inside of me that's corroding. I need to discover this. I need to find out what this is. So Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 gives us a great way to attack this. It says this: let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. He's encouraging us together, not to neglect this, not to isolate ourselves, but to come in together, to sharpen one another. Last week, I was blessed to go to a pastor's retreat. And I tell you what, it was so much fun. I was around other pastors, and we were silly, and we were funny. And just being around them, there was engaging, conversation where I thought, man, I didn't think about this. I never thought or viewed it this way. Just listening, just sitting there. Not that I have to have a conversation with somebody. I'm just listening to what's going on, and I go, that's great. My notes in my phone, it's just listed, you know. Yeah, boom, boom, boom. I'm writing down all these nuggets because I think I want to apply this in my life. Just being around that, I go, man, that's good. Man, when you isolate yourself and you don't want to engage that way, you miss out on opportunity to go, I'm going to change the way I do this. I'm going to start approaching it this way. So I got all kinds of things I want to do now. I'm ready to go because I've engaged. Last week, I was in a counseling session that I was sitting there on the couch talking to a counselor. And so I started off. I said, man, I started sharing all this stuff. You're like, what was it? I started sharing all these things. Man, it was awesome. I was like, hey, this was great. And he gave me some good advice. You need to think about this and think about that. I thought, man, that's good. We get so scared to want to open up and share the vulnerability of it. Oh, but when you open up, there's this guy named Joey. So Joey's hilarious. He was a pastor there. And we were just hanging out. And he's your typical, if you've ever been hiking on a trail, he's the guy that's coming down the trail. And he sees you, and he's like, hey, do you have extra granola bars? I've got four. You want one? Like, he's like, do you need anything? He's that guy. He's like, isn't it a great day? I saw two squirrels running beside each other. You're like, Joey, you can find the joy in anything. Joey, he was so much fun. I had him film a video for you guys. So here's Joey.
Hey, everybody. My name is Joey Roberts. I want to welcome you to Trailhead Church. Been hanging out with your pastor all week, and man, God's doing some awesome stuff out here. Things are happening. The Holy Spirit's moving, God is just so cool. And I just want you to know, whatever's going on today, everything's gonna be all right.
That was me laughing at the end. Because in my head, I was like, everything is gonna be all right. Like, why would it not be? Because you're wholeheartedly going to Jesus, and what are you gonna do? You're gonna find him. Everything's gonna be all right. Some of you need to hear it. At the end of the week, I'm around this table, and they ask the questions. They're like, what are you taking away from here? What are you leaving here? And it came to me, and I sat there and I pondered. I said, hey, I was in counseling with Chip today. And I said, you know, and I grew up, many of you guys know that I grew up in the woods, 80-acre farm or whatever. And growing up there, I was alone because I had an older brother who didn't care about me. And so I was alone all the time. And so I had imaginary friends. So I would just play with imaginary friends. Chip told me, he said, hey, imaginary friends are awesome. It shows that you're creative. But it also shows about how you're alone. And about a lot of times you actually now as an adult, you want connection. And so the uncomfortable, even though deep down inside, the details of your childhood, here I want to isolate myself a lot of times. Naturally speaking, when things go awry, I typically go in my head and I go, I just want to go to my office. I just want to go to my car. I just want to be alone. And that's typically the behavior that I have deep down inside. So if you're ever in a weird, awkward conversation with me, that's what I'm thinking. But I'm realizing that I need to actually confront that feeling so that I don't have this notion of I just want to be alone. So I'm around this table, and I said, yeah, I met Chip today, and, you know, I learned that my imaginary friends, and then I paused. I don't have them now, by the way. But as I said that and I paused, Joey yells at the end of the table, I'm real! And I thought, he was being funny and silly. But you know, it meant the world to me to hear somebody just say, I'm real. That notion of having that togetherness to be like, we're here. That evening, I'm shooting basketball out there with my best friend, Justin, and we're shooting, and we're just talking about life and ministry and what it's going to be like in 25 years. And I said, Justin, I don't care where it's going to be like, you know, I don't care, as long as you and I are still together. And he leans in and gives me this big high five. He's like, that's right. Man, that's awesome. Just to know that you've got people that want to engage, they want to be with you 25 years from now. Some of you need to have that engagement. 25 years from now, we're still in it. We're still here together. Don't isolate, engage. It tells us that in Galatians 6, 1 through 5, that man, we need to carry each other's burdens. We need to be there for one another. We need to pick each other up. We've got individuals that will test our actions. Why are you acting like this? You're weird. Stop it. Why? You see him out in public, you're like, why are you, you're being different than normal. Why? What's wrong? What are you thinking about? Pry it out of him. Why do you act like this? What's happening in your house? What's uncomfortable in your house that you're not addressing and you're bringing out garbage out here? Because it's affecting your workplace. It's affecting your best friends. It's infecting your children. It's infecting your children. So my second part of this, and my first part was not isolate but engage. Second part of this is I want you to change your thinking. Now, this is an exercise I want us all to take. Everybody has a smartphone except Sam. So everyone pull out a smartphone right now. So everyone pull out your smartphone. Come on, pull it out. Let's go. Some of you are like, no, I'm a good Christian and I put it away. Liar. All right. Pull it out. Everybody's got it? All right, I want everybody to open up your browser. Okay, I want you to go to Safari or Google. Okay, and I want you to type in current news. No, I just heard someone say no. Type it in. Now, hand your phone to your neighbor. I'm kidding, don't do that. Because you all know what I'm saying here. Your news will look different than the person beside you's news. Oh, some of you are nervous. You're like, oh, I know that they support this party. I know they think different than me. Oh, I know why you think different. Because there's an algorithm in this phone that feeds you. I heard this past week. It said, Democrats want to run from the throne of God. Republicans want to sit on the throne of God. Now, that's the polarizing of each party. We know this to be true. What I did understand in this conversation that I was listening in intently, that maybe we got it wrong. Maybe if we walked in humility and said, maybe we got it wrong. Because when you open up your phone and you typed in news, current news, your news looked completely different than your neighbor's news. You're in an algorithm where they just start thinking, you think this way. You want to see these images. You want to hear what this person is saying, and you want to hear the next closest person to that person. But just maybe you're thinking wrong. Just maybe if we could walk in humility and say, maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe I need to stop being so consumed with all the outside voices. Just maybe our thinking. The devil loves to play in our thoughts. It's ruminating. It's like chewing over and over and over again. Thoughts, just constant thoughts. Oh, you can make yourself sick. As a matter of fact, Brian Tracy is an author whose focus is on success. He says that 95% of your emotions are determined by the way you talk to yourself. 95% of your emotions. I mean, when you're left alone, you're a dangerous weapon. That's why it's important that you never are left alone. You invite God into your room every day. Your room meaning your circle. Wherever you're at, that environment, God's walking with you. Talk to him. Pray without ceasing, Paul says, right? Hey, we need to be praying without ceasing. We need to be going to him and saying, all right, I need to stop this thinking. We got to stop it. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every thought. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers and sisters. Finally. Paul's so fed up. Finally. He's just worn out. Finally. And he groups everybody in. Brothers and sisters, all of you, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There's so much unforgiveness that happens when our behaviors kick in. Oh, man. So much. We become distant. We put walls up. Escalation takes place. All of a sudden, it gets way worse than actually what it was. I sent a text to Anna this past week, and it was my fault. I said, went to a counseling session. I'm a little messed up. Ha, ha, ha. Just being silly. Ho, 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 ho. Immediately, Anna. She started raising the bar. What do you mean? She writes back, need a little bit more information. I went to dinner. couple hours go by. We get on a phone call. Can't send a text like that. You know where my brain goes, right? All of our brains go there. We think, oh, what? Oh, it just goes higher and higher, harder, bigger, faster. And you're like, when you get alone in your thoughts of unforgiveness and anger and bitterness, man, false belief sets in. It kills you. Hostility. You become hostile. That's why you get fired. That's why you get divorced. That's why you hate people. That's why you become an angry driver out there on the roads. Parked at a stoplight a few days ago. Guy pulls up beside me. He had a car and a half in front of him, empty. This woman pulls up right up against him. I saw it. And I saw her, and she was like, she goes over like the median and pulls in front of him. And I was like, wow. How did you get there? Like, how did you get to the point that you didn't care about your $10,000-plus car, first of all, because your alignment's all jacked up now. Like, how? Because here's the problem. She's upset, right? And I'm being serious about the alignment thing. So here, she's going down the road now like, oh, yeah, I'm vindicated. I got in front of that guy who was so slow. And then a few weeks from now, her car's doing this down the interstate. She's like, oh, my gosh, my car. And then she takes it to the shop, right? And the shop says it's going to be, you know, $250 to align your car. Oh, my gosh, everything's just awful. Everything's against me in this world. That's good preaching. You know I'm right. That's how it happens. And then we sit there and go, oh, I can't believe this happened to me. It happened to you because you don't have a control on you. I'm sorry, I'm getting real preachy right now. And I got 2 minutes left. You're not getting control on your emotions and your behaviors because you're allowing the enemy just to come in and just stew it up, baby. You got to walk in wholeheartedness wrapped around you. You don't have time to give to the enemy. You don't have time for that stuff. He will steal that time from you. You have a responsibility. Many of you don't know, but you have a responsibility because you've been given authority to take control. In Ephesians 2:12, it says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God made to them. Some of you in this room, maybe you didn't know this. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body, on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. You have responsibility. Because in Ephesians 4:31, 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Whew. Here's my three steps. Step one, receive God's forgiveness. Receive it. When I said start with repentance, and when you repent, receive his forgiveness. Lord, I receive your mercies. Oh, Lord, I receive your grace, your forgiveness. I receive this because it tells me that I can. In 1 Timothy 1:13 through 15, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, I persecuted his people. Ah, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. But now, oh, the generous, gracious, how beautiful our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, by the way. Everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. Every one of you in this room, don't run from him. take that step and receive forgiveness. Lord, I repent. Number two, you got to freely give what you've received. You've got to be willing to operate in the receiving from God and then the giving from God, the ability to receive from him, to give to others. That you set your time apart with God, and you're just receiving, and you're just this big vessel of overflowing, and all of a sudden you pour it out on others. You have the ability to receive. You have the ability to accept his love and his understanding, and then you turn around and you pour it out on others. Matthew 10:8 says, give as freely as you have received. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. You get to tell people, God's so good to me. God's so good to me. If you can't say that, then you're not in his presence. And you need to be in his presence so that you can have that reciprocating moment of, oh, Lord, there's God. Oh, Lord, there's God. This moment I can just take in and give right out. Oh, my presence with him. Oh, his. You need to experience his presence in and out, in and out. And when you do it, you're experiencing a new person. This old life is gone. A new life has begun. And verse 18, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we're Christ's ambassadors. When we pick up this, we're showing people, man, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Man, I'm protected. I've got authority. Oh, man, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Man, I've got it all together. So we're Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And finally, the third step, produce fruit. How do you produce fruit? You do what God's called you to do. You do it. You go do those things. You just continue to keep producing fruit. As you produce fruit, what happens? It's an off product of your happiness, your forgiveness. It's a byproduct of your forgiveness. It's a byproduct of the joy that you walk in. It's the joy of knowing that, you know what? Everything's going to be all right. God is good. He's for me. Who could be against me? Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. James 3:17 through 18, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I want to reap a harvest of righteousness. And that's walking wholeheartedly. I love what I heard another pastor say once. Choices lead, feelings follow. You have a choice this morning. to choose to follow him. When you choose to follow him daily, all of these feelings that try to corrupt us, they're behind you. When you put feelings in front of you, they cast shadows upon the good things in your life. They cast shadows because those emotions of anger and bitterness, they cast shadows to what is actually beautiful. The comparison of your spouse, they could always do more. But yet what they do is great. This is a moment to choose to lead. A moment to say, I'm going to step out in the goodness of God. I'm going to be wholeheartedly and I'm going to seek after his presence and he's going to find me. And that changes it all. So let's make that choice this morning. Let's bow our heads. I want each of us to examine our hearts and where we stand with Christ this morning. Are you holding on to emotions that you need to let go? Are you freely putting yourself in a position where God can use you? Or are you holding back? If that's you this morning, let it go. If that's you this morning, lay it down at his feet. Some of you might even need to do it with your hands right now. Just take your hands and pick up all of that stuff and just throw it down right now. Just pick it up, throw it down. I don't want it. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm done with it. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness, your peace. God, I ask that right now inside of our hearts, Lord, that you speak to us and you bring us into a completed wholeness. Lord, that it's a wholeness wrapped in your righteousness and your love, your grace and your mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, thank you for setting us free from stinking thinking. Lord, thank you for engaging us to sharpen one another. Lord, I'm so thankful right now, Lord, that we're not controlled by these algorithms. Lord, I'm so thankful that we don't allow anger to come, Lord, into our lives and corrupt us in such a way that it trickles over into everything else. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that we are blessed, blessed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as we've repented, we're knowing that we've been set free. We're sorry. We're sorry for the emotions. I'm sorry that we're led by these feelings. But Lord, from now on, we're led by our choice to follow you. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you don't know who Jesus is and you want to make him Lord over your life, if you want to make that decision this morning, you know, this is something that's big. It's the biggest thing you can do. The biggest thing. It's eternal. I want you to make that decision in your heart. That's for you and him. And in making that decision, you made that decision, that choice. Hey, at the end of service, my left, your right, it's the prayer room, double doors here. It'll be opened up. We got prayer workers back there. They've got Bibles. They've got all sorts of information to help you. You answer, ask any question, you name it, they can do it. Make that decision today. Do not walk out of here allowing Satan to have a grip on you. I've been set free from that. I've been set free from all of that. You too, you need to be set free from all of that. All right? All right. Thank you guys for coming out here today. Pastor Dave? Nope. That's it. Hey, love on somebody. Meet somebody new. Guys, enjoy your Sunday.